Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says in our gospel reading for today, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." In wars between nations and countries on this earth, it is possible for a country or a people or group to be neutral, to take neither side. But there is a war in which you cannot be neutral. Everyone is either on one side or the other. There is a war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and it is this war in which there is no neutrality. In the Korean Peninsula, there is a demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea. That land is not either, is not North Korea's or South Korea's. It's a buffer between the two. But there is no demilitarized zone when it comes to the space between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. In wars, the country of Switzerland has been neutral. They've said that they want to step out of it, not be involved in the last world war. But there is no Switzerland when it comes to the battle between God and the battle between Satan. Every single person is either on one side or the other. You are either in the kingdom of God or you are in the kingdom of Satan. Now, there are some who think that they can just step out of the fray. They look at religion. They look at disagreements between religions. They look at disagreements between churches. And they think that they can simply step out of it. They say, well, I'll just be an atheist. I'll just say, I don't believe in God. There is no God. And so they try to step out of it. And then there are those who say, well, I'll be an agnostic. That means I just don't know. I don't know if there is a God or if there isn't. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what is true. When it comes to religion or higher powers or any of those things, I'll just step out of it and say, I don't know. And then there are those, as especially is becoming the case in our country, who say, well, I just won't affiliate with any kind of religious group. When religious surveys have come out, they will check the box, no religion in particular. They're referred to, by those who study these sorts of things, as the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They say that they have no religious affiliation. The religious affiliation is none. We'll just step out of it and say, I'm not going to affiliate with anyone. Perhaps they would consider themselves spiritual. Perhaps they say there is some kind of higher power, but they're just not going to affiliate with any group. But in all of these three cases that I've just mentioned, when a person tries to take this neutral stance and step out of it and say, I'm just not going to affiliate, or I'm not going to try to claim that I know anything about this, or I'm just going to say that there is no God at all, a person is actually taking sides. That person is actually in the kingdom of Satan. If they take any one of those three positions, they are saying, I don't want to be with a Lord. I don't want to consider what God has done or who he is or if he's real. I just want to step outside of it. And Satan rejoices to see this. He rejoices when people want to take those sorts of stances. Now you might ask, well, what about that third one? When people just disaffiliate, they just don't want to be part of a group. They don't want to be part of organized religion. Maybe they say that they're spiritual but not religious. What about them? Can't they be considered as those who are on God's side? Because after all, they believe that God exists. Faith that our Lord requires. Faith in him is not simply an acknowledgement of God's existence or an acknowledgement of a set of historical facts, that there was a historical Jesus, that he did die on the cross, and maybe even that he rose from the dead. To believe in him is to trust in him, is to believe that he is the one who forgives your sins, that you need to be under his care, that he needs to be your shepherd, your good shepherd, who cares for you, provides for you, and protects for you, protects you. And if you do believe that, if a person believes that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that he takes care of them. They want Psalm 23 at their funeral. They want to believe that Jesus is our shepherd. Well, if you have a shepherd doesn't just shepherd individual sheep on their own, he shepherds a flock of sheep. And when our Lord describes himself as the good shepherd, he also is saying that he has a flock of sheep that gather together. And you can't just say, I want the shepherd and not the other smelly sheep. I don't want to deal with their sins. I don't want to deal with their problems. A person is gathered into a body, into a flock, where they are cared for by the good shepherd, and they are given his word, and they are with other sheep. Or to use another illustration that is used in Scripture, we are part of a body. And one part of our body can't say, I am not needed here. I don't want to be connected to these other parts of the body. Your little toe can't say, I don't really like my spot in the body. I don't want to be connected to this foot or next to all these other toes. I would rather just be connected to the head on my own. The head was Christ. No, one member of the body can't say, I want the head without everybody else. You are connected to the other members of the body, and you receive our Lord's gifts and his sustaining nourishment and care in the fellowship of the rest of the body. A person cannot disaffiliate and say, I have no religious affiliation. They can't say, I'm just spiritual but not religious and I don't believe in organized religion. A person is organized into a body. That's what a person is, organized into a flock, where they are receiving the care of the head of the body, receiving the care of the shepherd of the flock. And Satan would rather, though, that you be separated from the body. And if any part of your body is cut off, you know that it will die. And if any sheep is separated from the rest of the flock, Satan rejoices because he is a wolf that wants to devour the sheep. He wants them alone. He wants them separated. He wants to take them to be in his kingdom, under his control and his power. There is no neutral ground. There is no way to step out of it, to step away from it. You are either under Satan's control or under the Lord's. But there is yet a fourth way in which a person can try to say, you know, I really want to have both. I want to have both sides. I want to have Jesus and I want to have the world deceived by Satan. This person wants to sort of straddle the fence and say, you know, I'll go to church and I'll hear God's word and I'll believe it insofar as it fits with what I know and believe from the rest of the culture. But if I start hearing things that are kind of radical, that sound like religious fanaticism, that sound extreme to our culture, then I'll just set those things aside. I'll just kind of temper it and try to steer a middle road between what the world says and what Jesus and God's word say. And I'll relegate certain things to just, those are just extreme positions. This is not an option either. That is not to follow Jesus, to die to oneself, to love him above all other things, and to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. But instead, it's to take the world standards of what is extreme or fanaticism and use that to judge God's word. And these are changing norms and changing standards. After all, what have we observed in the last 20, 30 years? But a very significant change in what is considered good and right. Where homosexuality was considered, let's say 50 years ago, to be something that was wrong, where it was even illegal to practice it. Now today, it is embraced. And in fact, if you don't embrace it, the culture would say that you are hateful. that you are discriminatory, that even you are like a racist. Because they will say that this is the way a person was born. This is who a person was created even to be. And it's not sin. And it should be celebrated and accepted, just like we would accept someone of a different skin color. But those things are not the same. One is created by God and the other is not. God did not create these sorts of distortions. He created a certain order where man and woman are created to live together in marriage, one man and one woman, for life, for the bearing of children. This is how God created it and set it up. And to believe that, and to believe that this other thing is a distortion, is not an extreme perversion, an extreme position. Even though the world today, in our culture, might say that it is extreme. But if we try to follow the culture and let it set the standard for what is right and good and what is extreme or not extreme, we're not actually following our Lord. We're following the culture. And we're only being involved in the church or only trying to follow Jesus insofar as his teaching overlaps, coincides with, fits with what the culture, the world deceived by Satan will say. This is actually to be in Satan's kingdom and to be deceived into thinking that you're actually in God's kingdom. No. Our Lord says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. If you're not completely with Jesus, you're on the opposite team. If you're not in his army, on his side, seeking to follow his word, believing it, trusting it, believing that it is good and right and true, but instead saying, no, some of it isn't true. This part I'm not going to follow. This part should be thrown out. This part is extreme. Then you're saying, I would rather follow what the world deceived by Satan would say. I want to join the other team. And our Lord does not want this. Our Lord on the cross gave himself up for you to buy you back from Satan and his kingdom. Because you shouldn't be in Satan's kingdom. God did not create you for that. He created you to be his child, to belong to him, to follow Jesus, to be under his care and his protection, and not to be in Satan's kingdom. And to be in the kingdom of our Lord is far, far better than to be in the kingdom of this world. In the kingdom of this world, deceived by Satan, it is all about what you do. You are reliant on yourself for your own accomplishments. You measure your success by what you have done, and the world rewards you for what you have done. But in God's kingdom, you are given gifts, you are given eternal life, you are given salvation not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you on the cross. You are admitted into this kingdom, you are accepted, you are celebrated, you are rejoiced in, not because of who you are, but because of what Christ has done for you by his death and resurrection. And because that has been applied to you in your baptism, you have been buried and raised with him. You are marked as a soldier of our Lord, as one of his own who belongs to him, not because you come with a resume of everything that you've done and you apply for the job, apply for the position, but rather because you look to Jesus and what he has done for you to bring you into his kingdom. This is the kingdom that we want to be a part of, the kingdom of our Lord. Because he is the one who gives us salvation by his free gift, by his work on the cross for us, and not by our work for him. But there is yet another reason that we should want to be in this kingdom. Because Jesus is the one who who has already defeated Satan. Satan's kingdom, though it may seem to be triumphing, though it may seem that there are an increasing number of people that are disaffiliating from the church, and yes, that is the case. In 1972, only about 5% of people identified themselves as having no religious affiliation whatsoever. Now, in 2020, 2 years ago, 30% of people in the United States said that they had no religious affiliation. Yes, it seems that there is an increasing tendency towards secularism and turning away from our Lord and saying, we don't want God and His Word and the church. We don't want the truth of what God says. Yes, it may seem that the kingdom of Satan right now is winning. But we don't go by those sorts of appearances. We don't go by the statistics. We go by our Lord and His promises. We go by what He has done for us on the cross. Here in our gospel reading, we have this illustration that Jesus gives of a strong man guarding his palace until a stronger man comes along and overpowers him and divides his spoil. Jesus is that stronger man. Though it may seem that the devil is strong and his forces are strong in this world, Jesus is the one who has won victory over Satan by his death on the cross, so that people of all nations and tribes and languages can be brought into his kingdom by being baptized into his name, being washed and being sustained by his word. Our Lord has defeated Satan, and we will see that defeat in all its glory. We will see the victory of Jesus in all its glory on the last day when he returns. And Satan will be thrown into the lake of burning fire. And all of God's people who have remained in him, who have been washed in his blood, will be brought to the glories of eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth. So cling to our Lord. Remain his disciple. Remain in this kingdom, dear Christians. Do not turn your back on him. Do not set aside what our Lord says. Do not follow the standards of this culture. And where you perhaps may have done that, repent. And today receive his forgiveness. It is here today for you as he gives himself and his body and blood. This king of this kingdom, of our Lord's kingdom, sacrifices himself for you to make you his own. And he welcomes those back who have strayed from his fold to receive his forgiveness and his new life. So do what is described both in our psalm for today, the intro it, and also in our gospel reading. In the psalm we hear that my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. To be a disciple of Jesus is to fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who has fought for us and is still fighting for us. So fix your eyes on him and his word and what he has done. Not just 1 hour of one day every week, but every hour of every day every week. And then also in our gospel reading, we see that it ends with the words of Jesus, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Remember that you are blessed when you hear our Lord's word and you keep it or treasure it and guard it. That this is the thing that is your meat and drink. This is the thing that you live by, is to hear God's word, receive his forgiveness, and continue to meditate upon the word that our Lord has given. This is how our Lord sustains his soldiers in his kingdom for the battle that they face each and every day. Because Satan tries to deceive us by all kinds of things. As we saw at the beginning, there are at least four different ways that Satan tries to deceive us, to make us think that we can step out away from God, step out of the battle, and we're just fine. And the devil's fine with that, because he does not want you to receive our Lord's forgiveness and to be in our Lord's kingdom again. But our Lord loves you, he cares for you, and he wants you right now in this world to be in his kingdom, and he wants you to be with him forever. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.